Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. with Gregory Stafford helping us to open up the program with his theme song, our theme song, No One Else. And I would like to know how many of you either know someone personally, whether they're a family member, classmate, co-worker, you know someone personally, or maybe you yourself are dealing with ADHD. That is something that can be frustrating, to say the least. And I want us to take a look at some tips that Medical News Today is sharing with regards to how we can deal with ADHD. How many of you parents in particular have found it difficult sometimes to deal with a child who has ADHD? How long did your child have ADHD before you discovered that your child had ADHD? Did you think that maybe your child was just one who just misbehaved more than others? Did you think that your child was just really going about the business of trying to make life difficult for you, frustrating for you for no reason? Did you think that maybe there was something really, really different about your child? Truly different, and you just couldn't put your finger on it. And so finally you decided to have your child tested. Or how many of you received a note from one of the teachers or a phone call from the office at the school informing you that your child really did need some attention, some special attention, in order to address some behavior issues, persistent behavior issues that your child was having? Very often that's where we can get or do end up getting some of the initiating information, you might say, that helps us get to the point where we begin to find out why our child has been acting up so much. And sometimes come to find out that there's some type of disorder that the child really has no control over. Truly has no control over. May be able to be taught some things that can help the child better manage his or her behavior, but they have a much more difficult time than the typical child in managing their behavior because of the presence of the disorder. And it is a disorder. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. Now, I'm not saying that because I want you to in any way begin to perceive your child in any negative way whatsoever. It is a disorder, just like bipolar personality is a disorder, just like schizophrenia is a disorder. Something has gone wrong, often with the brain, and the person only has so much control over their thinking and their behavior. And think about how poorly a job many of us do at managing our behavior when we have no disorders. All we have to deal with is that human nature, which by nature is sinful, rebellious, proud, arrogant, but we have no disorder. And think about the drama that we cause. Think about the drama that others cause us, even when they have no disorder. Nothing going wrong with the brain. But we're talking about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, in some cases, attention deficit disorder without the hyperactivity. Hyperactivity, you get the meaning there. And there's still problems. And so all it means is we just need to put forth even greater effort to discover how to work with that family member or that student who does also have attention deficit, they have a difficult time focusing, And in addition to that, they are hyperactive. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. And here's the thing. Bringing up a child with ADHD comes with challenges. And the experts say that there are really no hard, fast rules, since ADHD can have different degrees of severity and symptoms. However, children can benefit from person-centered or tailor-made approaches. Here's the thing. I mentioned that we all have difficulties from time to time managing our behavior. I mean, whether it's because someone is just constantly on our case at work, there's somebody who is bullying us at school, we have someone at home who is just constantly acting out, not because they necessarily have a disorder, but there is something about their spirit. There's something about their soul. There's something about their personality that just causes them to just be ugly. And even being causes them to be ugly towards their own family members. And you have that madness, that drama as part of your life on a regular basis. After a while, it can become more and more challenging to control your own behaviors, your own thought processes. But when we're talking about adding to just the normal course of life, where people are just making life unnecessarily difficult, you add to that ADHD. That ADHD alone can cause a child to have poor impulse control, which can in turn lead to challenging or inappropriate behaviors. But an important step for parents is to accept that ADHD simply represents a functional difference in the brain. The brain literally functions differently. That's why you heard me say just a little earlier that there is a problem with the brain. There is a disorder, and the brain is the part of the body affected by that disorder. This isn't just about attitude. It's not. It is more about what's happening with the brain physiologically than it is attitude. Now, here's the thing. Even though the ADHD indicates that there's a functional difference in the brain of the person with ADHD, whether a child or an adult, is functioning differently than the brain of people who don't have disorders. The good news is this doesn't mean that your child cannot learn right from wrong, but that they may need to find other ways. You know, you might need to find other ways to support your child in developing positive behavior. So one of the things that needs to happen is this. Parents and caregivers will need to adapt their own ways of interacting with the child. This includes how you talk with the child, gestures that you make, emotional language, and the physical environment. And remember this now. Many of us have, as parents, have said, you know, I've learned that I've got to treat each of my children differently. They're all my children, but they're not all exactly alike. And we've been able to make that determination in light of the fact that not one of our children has any kind of disorder. Just the mere fact that they are different people, literally with different brains. They're not going to think exactly alike any more than we and our siblings would think exactly alike. They're going to think differently. They're going to have some interests that are different. And they'll respond to discipline in various ways depending on each child's personality. And so that being the case, it's important for us to remember that the same is true, and maybe even more so, when it comes to a child who may have ADHD. We will almost certainly have to work with that child in a way that is different than the way we work with our other children. And I want to encourage you, don't allow the child's misbehavior to have you feeling bitter towards your child. love your child. I mean, love your child. Know that your child is literally out of control at times. There's something happening with the brain that the child doesn't even want to be happening with their brain. But they don't have any way of making their brain function or perform the way it needs to. And so, believe me, very often, even while you're frustrated with your child's misbehavior, so is your child. The child is frustrated too, and especially when they keep getting in trouble because of the misbehavior. And there's something that I want you to please keep in mind. I know that very often the medications that can be used to help children gain control of their behavior can have some side effects. And sometimes parents are reluctant to have their children experience the side effects. And so they don't want to give the child any medication, even though a visit with a doctor may make it clear that medication could be very, very helpful. One of the things that you want to consider, just consider this now. It'll be important to talk with your child in teaching format, training format. You, maybe even a doctor, a physician, a psychologist, psychiatrist, in helping your child learn to develop new ways of thinking, different ways of behaving, better ways of behaving. But at the same time, if they're still having problems going on with the brain that they are not able to control, and as a result, they're not able to put into play, to put into action, to implement the training that they receive the way they want to, remember, it may really be in the child's better interest to go ahead and encourage the child to faithfully take the medicine, so that the medicine can do what it does in helping the child gain some control over his or her behavior, so that they can then put into play the training, the teaching that they're receiving when it comes to better behaving, better managing their behavior. Give them a fighting chance. Sometimes our children can become so frustrated with the parents when they turn 17 years old and discover that the medication that they're finally taking, maybe they began at age 16 and a half, early 17, early on in their 17th year. Maybe they've been taking the medication for 3 months. The doctor's been able to discover which medication at what dosage works best for the child. And your teen child is finally able to get their behavior under control because the medication is causing the brain to function more appropriately, more correctly, more properly. And now the child is able to put into action what they're learning and talking with the psychiatrist, whoever is treating them. And sometimes a child starts taking the medication in their teens, and life becomes so much better for them. And they're getting in much less trouble, if any trouble at all. And they look back on all the years that they did get into trouble. And the parents would not put them on medication because they didn't want them on medication. My child is just going to have to learn to change the way he or she thinks and behaves on their own, just with us telling them what to do. And the child thinks back on all those years that the child kept getting punished over and over and over at school and at home. And sometimes friends not wanting to hang out with them because of their erratic behavior. They think about all those years of negative consequences that could have been possibly avoided had the parents started them on the medication years earlier than they did, maybe at age 6 instead of age 17. For the children who may be in that situation, I definitely want to ask you to forgive your parents. Sometimes the truth is we parents don't make the best decisions. Sometimes we're messing up because some parents really and truly just don't want to get it right. At other times, parents really do want to get it right, and they're faced with a dilemma. They don't know which decision is the best decision. And so they finally reach a verdict and say, hey, look, you know what? I think this is what's going to be best for my child. They make that decision and stick with it for a long, long time. And sometimes it turns out that that decision they made is the best decision, but sometimes it's not. I want to ask you whether it's because your parents were just negligent and just didn't put in enough time, fact-finding, and coming to a good conclusion as to what decision would be best, or whether it's because they really thought this through, talked with people, did some research, and made the decision they made, and it turns out that although they meant well, that decision wasn't the best. Regardless of where your parent was, I want to ask you to forgive your parent. Primarily for your sake, but secondarily for the sake of the relationship. It can become better. Forgive your parents for having made the wrong decision. Parents, forgive yourselves for having made the wrong decisions. If indeed it turns out that you made a wrong decision about how to deal with your child's persistent misbehavior. Love each other. Love each other. Love each other. Forgive each other. Forgive yourselves. Come together as family. All right. So in the meantime, you're doing that because you want to make sure that you everyone involved is doing everything in your power to make life as beautiful for the entire family as possible. So keep this in mind in working with your children. Consistency is important. That's why we all need routine, not just children. Adults need routine. And routine is all about consistency. It really helps. A lot of you have heard me talk about, for example, sleep patterns, sleep habits. Some people call it sleep hygiene, where it's so important that we go about the business of getting our proper rest. And proper rest means that we're getting to bed at the time that our bodies need to be getting to bed. It doesn't matter whether we're 52, 22, 12, or 8. Doesn't matter what age we are. We need to be making sure that we're getting our proper rest, putting our bodies down for the night at the time that our bodies really be needing to call it a night. And doing that even on the weekends. The experts recommend that we not break up the weekend sleep pattern. Break up the week's sleep pattern by staying up super late on the weekends just because we may not have to be anywhere as early the next day. The experts recommend keep taking care of that body by getting to bed on time every night that you're able, regardless of what night of the week it is. Consistency. Study routines. Consistency. Routine is all about consistency. It's important for everyone, but especially for a child with ADHD. And by using a supportive and structured approach, challenging behaviors can be limited and the child can actually flourish. When we come back, I want to share with you some tips for helping your child who has ADHD. I've given you an overview now. Let's go ahead and get ready to go look at some more specific details as soon as we reconnect in just a few minutes.